You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 9, Episode 23 of the show coming your way this week. We're brought to you as ever by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And as you can probably hear by my very, very ropey voice, we are still suffering from a tad of cup fever here on the podcast. An absolutely brilliant trip for Longford Town on Sunday up to Castlebar Celtic. Obviously a new venue for us and an amazing game. The game of the round, 6-3, 9 goals. Longford coming out on top. First time they ever scored 6 in the FAI Cup. And I have to say, just a really, really good day out as well. Obviously, 99% of games I go to these days, I'm either commentating or doing some sort of media work. So I booked this one off a long time ago, said I wasn't going to do anything, went over on the supporters bus with a couple of the lads, and an absolutely brilliant day out. The Castlebar fans couldn't have been any more welcoming, and great crack and banter between the two sets of fans. And they were really up for it, wasn't it? Great to see. Like, you arrived there, Gary, and you thought, oh, probably be a couple of hundred at this game, and all the Castlebar fans all wearing Castlebar jerseys. There seems to be a real kind of community feel about that club. I know everyone says that, oh, it's a community club, but everyone that was there was wearing a yellow Castlebar jersey, which was really, really impressive. And they had their own chance. And it was a great atmosphere, a great occasion.
Great atmosphere is right. They had a lovely little setup there. They have the bar just inside, just on the halfway line, really. And you can look out the window and sup down a few pints and watch the match. But yeah, really nice little setup they have, and they had the band there as well, which added to the occasion of the game. And of course, they were up for it themselves. For what was 1-0 after a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Real lax defending from the Town, it has to be said, from the corner. But yeah, look, great game, great. Obviously, we're happy we're through to the next round. But yeah, wonderful day, and it seems like a team that really resonates with the town and the community around it.
Yeah, and like obviously there's a lot of talk about the third tier at the moment, and I think it's probably, if there's going to be a Mayo representative, I get the feeling it'll be maybe more of a Mayo League type situation, but Castlebar are the best team in Mayo, so a lot of them players would probably end up representing that team. But it's a positive sign that there seems to be that sort of support for just one club in Mayo. You'd like to think if there is some sort of representation in the league in the coming years, that's a little taste of what could be.
Absolutely, yeah, and fair play to them for it. They've really, it takes a lot of work to build something like that there, and they're seeing the fruits of it. So, yeah, hopefully, if that is something that comes to pass at that level, it would be just fantastic. So, yeah, fair play.
Yeah, lovely little town, I have to say, as well. Spotless, really, really nice place to go. So, right, that was this week's podcast. We will speak to you again next week. Thanks for joining us. Last word on that game for now. We have got a very interesting guest this week, Dean George. Or you're going to say, shock, they're getting a Longford Town player on. But actually, you look back, we very, very rarely ever get Longford Town guests on the show. But I thought this was a different angle this week, because usually we're looking to speak to, the young up-and-coming players in the league and players that, they might go on to bigger or better things, or the top names at the top clubs. But Dean, I suppose, is a player that his name was rising a couple of years ago. Treaty, he was scoring a lot of goals. He got his move to Longford, and you were expecting, this is a lad now coming, he'll score a lot of goals for Longford, and he'll be flirting with promotion, and he's a player that maybe could be in the Premier Division in a couple of years. And then he had a really bad injury, and it's kind of been stop-start for him, and he's gone over 630 days without a goal, and then he scores 2 in that cup game to book Longford through to the next round. So it's a different kind of, we're talking to someone that's been scrapping around the bottom of the First Division for the last couple of years. So he's going to tell us what that's been like, and overcoming the injuries, not just physically, but mentally as well. It's actually a really interesting chat, so stick around for that. But we're going to go through the cup games very quickly here. We'll speak in depth about some of the games a little bit more than some of the others, but we'll start with Dundalk and Sligo on the Friday night, Gary, because I was at this one, and actually people should check out the Members Club for some really good interviews. I spoke to Ryan Cassidy, the Sligo assistant, because John Russell was sick and didn't make the game, so Ryan took charge. And he led them to the victory on the night. I spoke to James McManus, who scored that unbelievable goal. And I also spoke to Kieran Gilduff as well. So that's over on the Members Club if people want to check that out. But Dundalk were the much better team in the first half here, Gary. Now, Sligo had the first chance of the game, like a minute in. I think it was Hakiki that probably could have done a bit better, hit straight at the keeper. But after that, Dundalk were on top, couldn't put the ball in the net, which has been their problem for a number of weeks now. Right on the stroke of half-time, Harry Groom misses a sitter, and then Sligo come out and get two goals in the blink of an eye. And once they got the two-goal lead, they never really looked like letting it go. They were comfortable enough, but Dundalk, they just can't seem to put the ball in the net at the moment, like we saw in Bray the week before.
Yeah, I think it's a problem that has been kind of creeping around the Dundalk side for a while, where we've seen them letting teams get back into games. They're not, you know, teams aren't killed, stone dead, and that's been a problem. But for their league exploits this year, I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. I think they have enough quality and will pick up enough wins to settle it. But in this game, I think I said it last week, even I think I said 2-0 Sligo as well.
You did. So did I, actually.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
You went against...
Actually, no, you went 3-1 Sligo.
Did I?
Yeah, you had a good week. And we get to the Predictions League later on. There could be a little bit of controversy about the Predictions League, the way I've scored it, but it's worked out in your favour, so...
All right, well, no complaints then. I thought I said 2-0 Dundalk.
No, you went 3-1 Sligo.
But I did see, like, even with Sligo's struggles, and I know their form has kind of turned in recent weeks, but I think it was just going to be a good example of the gap between the two levels. Like, was it
I didn't get that feeling. Like,
no.
If you went there first half as a neutral, you wouldn't have had a notion that Sligo was the Premier Division team.
That's exactly it. And actually, while I didn't see this game, I saw some tweets and stuff like that about, like, I think some Sligo fan was like, this isn't even football.
There was a lot of complaints regarding the pitch from Sligo, but, like, you're going up there, you know exactly what way it's going to play. So, you can come in a second.
Yeah.
I actually thought Dundalk's passing and crossing on the night was atrocious. So there's no way it was an advantage to Dundalk either.
Yeah, I actually saw there was a video that was put up. I think, did I send it to you earlier on over the weekend? But it was like down around the pitch, and it was like, I think it was like a video of it might be like a bit of a promo video or something like that. And it was like a child putting the flag into the corner.
I didn't see that. No.
And it's like, where's this going? Like, you've absolutely no idea what the hell is going on. Like, the pitch is just a sea of rubber. It's in right bad nick.
I think there's talk of them replacing the pellets, but, like, it needs more than that. Like, it needs digging up. But
oh no, the whole thing needs to go. What replace? How are they going to do that? Get the Hoover out? Like,
I don't know how it works. Yeah,
I'd love to actually see that. Hopefully, yeah. Do a bit of a video on that. That'd be cool because I've absolutely no idea how that would operate. But anyway, look, a good result for Sligo. Obviously, that could have been a banana skin for them, but unfortunately, yeah. Dundalk's finishing, and as you mentioned, crossing and transcreation didn't really help them.
They've brought in a new striker now. His ITC didn't come through, the famous ITC that we all learned about.
No one love, yeah.
In recent weeks or recent months in this league, Ronan Vaughan, whose brother Ethan is at Dundalk, but has barely played because of injury. He's been signed on loan from QPR. Now, I did speak to Kieran Gilduff after, and I made the point to him, like, you could sign Messi and you don't know what's going to work. Every transfer is a gamble at the end of the day, but how can you have such faith in a lad that he is going to be the man to fire you on? Because, like, I was looking up his record, he's played very, very little men's senior first team football, and Kieran said, but look, he's coming in to be part of the team, with no one saying he's the main number nine. No, he's coming in to be a part of the thing. So again, if people want to listen to that, it's on the members club, but yes, it's...
And is that until the end of, like, let's say December?
End of the season, so...
But what's the point? What's the point in getting a lone lad in?
Well, look, if he gets you 10 goals right now in the season and you win the league by a point, then that's the point of it. But I don't know. I just wouldn't be sure about it because, again, look at his record. He's not played a whole pile of football. I don't know how you can have certainty that, yeah, this is the man that's going to fire us on. Look, we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. We'll just fly through some of these other ones. Drogheda 5, Crumlin 0, cup holders through to the next round. A bit of flat track bullying again from Derry City. Gary, 5-1 winners against Treaty.
Excuse me. Yeah, bless you. It was another good result for Derry. Some nice finishing here as well, but I think there was a real... shows you the gap between the two divisions, and I think that's was kind of the case across the board. Probably like there was a bit of like looking at the results, like there was a few Shamrock Rovers bet Wexford 4-0 as well. Derry opened up Treaty. Well, maybe there was a bit more complacency against, like, would say the non-league teams. You know, Shells took a bit of time to fill in Fairview. So maybe there was a bit like we're not maybe not concentrating, but you know what I mean. Like there was just a bit of complacency. Whereas like the teams that were playing first division or Premier Division teams that were playing first division, they slaughtered them. So really goes to show like that, like the step up.
Oh, it's huge
across everything. Yeah, it's just insane.
Yeah, it's widening by the
widening absolutely. Yep.
One result that actually cost a lot of people money was Galway only winning 2-0 against Talca Rovers. I actually managed to get a bet up, but I don't deserve any praise or credit for it because I basically backed 13 teams and again the bet only came to 10-1. I didn't mess around with handicaps or overs markets or anything. I just backed literally the favourites that I thought. I think the biggest price I had was Sligo Rovers at 13-8, and I had like Bowes at 1-40 and Galway were probably 1-33 or something. So I got 120 quid for me tenner, I think. So I did all right. But a lot of people had Galway, you know, -3, -4, and they only won 2-0. I suppose this is not to read too much into one result, but it's probably a sign of what everyone knows, that they need to get a striker in there sooner rather than later to replace Moses.
Without a doubt, it seems to be everything they're at is kind of heavy lifting.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be able to shake it. It's a concern, and like I would say, where they are in the table at the moment isn't fantastic either. Probably, you know, we kind of I said it before, second season syndrome, but like this is second season bullshit. Like, you know, they're
just on the striker thing though. If Stephen Walsh is listening, he'd be saying, "Hang on, now I scored."
Oh yeah, fair play to him, but like
he needs a bit of help.
Yeah, he does need a serious amount of help, and I think you said it last week. Like, he's not going to get you those goals. He's not going to score in that frequency. So, it'll be hard for them to replace someone like that. But, I think it was only this week that deal was,
put through.
I saw the tweet recently. Anyway, so yeah, it's obviously not ideal that they've lost Moses, but like. He's very hard to replace.
Yeah.
And you know, I think like some of the results that they put in lately, like was it that 3-0 against Bowes was dire. Losing away to Rovers as well, Sligo Rovers. So yeah, I just don't know where the goals are coming from. And even like I say, when they did do a job on Pats, you know, they were handed two goals really. You know, the first one straight up by the keeper, taken down, scored, and then that one from the halfway line. So it's not as if like, oh, this is really good work and really good striker play that has resulted in that win. It was just really good taking the opportunities as they came. They need someone in big time.
Yeah. Kerry 2, Athlone 1. This is probably one of the most dramatic games of the weekend up there with Longford and Castlebar.
Yeah. not great. Athlone managed to snap defeat from the jaws of victory here.
Beaten again last night, was it, as well, in the Leinster Senior Cup?
Oh, was that last night? Was that played last night, was it?
Not to do a Pat Flynn on it, but didn't even know that competition was still on the go. I think that was a...
Who were they playing?
Was it Mochtas last night, or... I'll get a few now in a second, but they were beaten 2-0 anyway by a Leinster Senior League team. And yeah, it's just been a disaster start for Ian Ryan up there. Yeah, it was mocked as 2-0 last night.
Fair play to you. Yeah, no, that's obviously not ideal. But yeah, this result was not insane, but like, I don't know how Athlone managed to lose it. Like, obviously, it was a great free kick from, was it your mate, Joe Adams?
Yeah.
And then, well, a couple of minutes after a couple of minutes after the start of extra time, just really poor defending, really weak defending, I thought. And let the Amici cross the ball in. No, it wasn't Amici that crossed it. I can't remember who crossed it. He scored it. I nearly drove it over the bar. Actually, did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, Jesus, lad. Just tap this one in. But look, that was it. And fair play to Kerry, another...
They've won. That's their third year in the second round of the Cup, and they've won all three games.
Oh, fair play to them. Yeah. Athlone was a great team to be playing, though.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, of course, so. Kerry pushed Bowes to penalties in the third round last year.
Yeah.
And speaking of Bowes, 7-0 winners against Colchester. Not much to say there, really.
Not much to say there, yeah. It was a bit of a procession. I think it was, 4-0 before half-time.
Couldn't have worked out nicer for Bowes in terms as well, you know, an away game at home.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think that's the first time that has happened. I think that happened a couple of years ago as well. But yeah, look, there were no match for Bowes, and especially with the form that Bowes are in at the moment, they're motoring along lovely. So really no match.
I didn't tally up in the end. After Saturday or after Friday night, it was 22-1 to the League of Ireland against
Longford didn't do a great job for the goal difference.
Stats, yeah. Well, still put +3 onto it, I suppose.
Put +3, yeah, but
Mochtas were the only other team that scored against Waterford. So,
yeah.
I suppose we'll just have that conversation now very quickly. Like, there's been talk after the weekend that, you know, should the FEI maybe look at moving some of the rounds, make it earlier in the year, you know, have the Leinster Senior League teams in their season as such, but I don't know, at the end of the day, should we all be playing the one bloody calendar anyway?
Well, we should be playing the one bloody calendar.
A bandage solution, you know, moving one round of the cup or a couple of rounds of the cup.
I think that'd be, that's the FEI's goal, is to have one calendar.
Mm.
So like, you know, accommodating other leagues.
I think I was reading today, I think it's the Cork League.
Aye.
They're going to have a shorter season next season so they can move to a summer league. And obviously Castlebar the other day, they played in the summer league, and I suppose we've seen the benefits of that. They put on probably one of the best non-league showings. So
yeah.
This is a bit like, you know, I was talking about recently about the Northern Irish teams playing a winter league and just totally no sort of preparation going into Europe. I can't understand why they'd want to keep doing that. And I really don't understand why the non-league teams want to.
Yeah, I prefer summer football. I enjoy it, you know, nice going round. You know, imagine having the drive down to Kerry or Cove or something like that, and it's just black dark at 4 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
You know, like that type of stuff is just not great. But I don't want to start this conversation, right? I know we'll be talking about Europe, but like, it has been beneficial, but how beneficial has it? Like, it's a long time we're playing the summer league.
Mm.
And 2011 was the first time. It took a long time to get there. The advent of the Conference League has kind of really helped.
Yeah.
So I'm not like...
Aye, it's not the silver bullet.
Exactly, yeah. Like I'm not sure like how much... Like, we can put credit to it. But
definitely,
like,
it definitely helps in the early rounds of Europe. When you're coming up against teams that are out of season, like, it definitely does help.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, yeah. I don't want to get into it right now. Yeah.
Finn Harps 3-0 UCD. That was probably a bit of a surprise result in terms of the scoreline.
Yeah, exactly. It was some really, really... I think the first goal was... I think it was deflected, but it was a nice old swipe as well. Surprised to see
they'd
that.
They'd only played the week before, hadn't they? And it was what did it end?
3-1 to UCD.
Mm.
But a Sean Brennan-less UCD... went up to
obviously a huge blow of that to UCD to lose Sean Brennan. You're surprised he's gone to Bray?
To a degree, but not really. Like, they're having a very good season. They got to the playoff final last year. They signed him on a 2.5-year deal, I think.
Mm, yeah.
So, you know, fair play to him. Like that sorts out his brain for a couple of seasons anyway. I can see why, like, it was suitable for him. But obviously, a huge blow to UCD. I'm not overly surprised by it. Are you?
Without wanting to be disrespectful to Bray, I know someone will probably take massive offence to this now, but I would have thought he'd be going to a bigger club.
Such as?
Probably Dundalk was the one I would have had in mind, I suppose. More likely to be in the Premier Division next season.
Yeah, that's true enough. But look,
this could be one of the all-time little snippets now, in a couple of months' time, Bray could have either won the league or be promoted through the playoffs. Dundalk dropped off or something.
Like I'm not that bothered by it.
I think from what I understand, I think Dundalk were in the mix for him, but it seems Bray put together a very good package. So
yeah, 2.5 year deal is a good one.
Rare in the first division, all right. Mm-hmm. So well done to them. Speaking of Bray, 3-0 winners against Wayside in that local derby. Waterford 5, Mochtas 1. Maybe no great surprise that Waterford conceded a goal.
Probably not, yeah. But look, that's part of it. Mochtas have ability as well, so it's not overly surprising. As you said, not surprising that Waterford were the ones to concede as well as Longford Town, but that's going to happen. But Waterford got the job done there. That's all that matters.
Rovers 4, Wexford 0, Cork City 3, Leicester Celtic 0. I actually watched this one because...
Same. It was on the middle of the day.
I was at work and I forgot. I kicked off at 12. And then at halftime, I checked for flash score and it was 0-0. And I was starting to sweat then because the bet was right on the Cork, obviously. The bet I did ran Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I said, Jesus. So I stuck it on during my lunch and took them a long, long time to get the breakthrough. Now, as often is the case in these sort of games, once they got in front, that was it. That was the end of it. But will they have taken much from this Cork City? Played in front of a very small crowd as well.
Yeah, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon, not great. I'm not sure what they can take from it, really. First win. It's good to get a win no matter who you're playing. So I think that was
893. I was just checking FAI Connect there. That was the attendance.
Yeah. Well, it's 12 o'clock in the day though. No, I don't. The team is going like shite. No one's happy. Like, are you going to get yourself up for like a non-league opposition? No.
Another young loan signing today as well for Cork City.
Oh, I saw that. Where did he come from?
Loading it up here now. I'm going to say Preston, I think it was.
Yeah, I thought it was Preston, yeah.
Yeah, Caden Kamara, 19-year-old.
Over the dig Cork out of a
relegation
slog. Don't really
still see anything else. Still no sign of these established players that were promised.
Yeah, well, it sounds like...
Dykstee leaving at the end of the season too, that's... He's got a bit of ability about him, but could you see him being an effective player in the Scottish Premiership?
I think he'd be more effective for Cork, to be honest. It was good enough to get him to stay for the rest of the season, however that deal worked out. They need men to get them out of this. I don't know nothing about this loan signing, but... Is he going to be the lad to hang your hat on? Who knows? Maybe he'll get 20 goals.
if they lose on Friday, they can bring in Messi and it won't matter. So
pretty much,
Salt Hill 1, St. Michael's 0. I have to say big apologies to our friend in the Curran. He had a tweet up about, Salt Hill obviously got Galway in the next round of the Cup. And he was saying how delighted he was with the draw. And I tweeted him off the BTS account saying, oh, you coming out of retirement for this one? And he goes, well, considering I played in the previous round, I had no idea. This is one of the games I didn't watch back or really look at highlights or anything. I had no idea he was there. I had no idea Mark Ludden was there as well. They've got a serious ex-League of Ireland contingent there, that Saul Hill team.
Yeah, and considering the way the goal were going, could there be an upset here?
Yeah, and it'll be a bit like Colester or Bowes. I think it'll probably be in Eamon DC Park, but Salt Hill will be the home team.
Well, but they were a home team there for a while before, were they?
SD Galway.
No. Was that? Yeah, I think that was SD Galway. But when Salt Hill... No, Salt Hill had their own setup. Yeah.
The Drum. The coldest place on the planet.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Were you never out there, no?
Well, it was, yeah.
The wind just used to sweep through you.
I think it was at that game, Davy O'Sullivan's first league game for
Oh yeah, 5-1.
Was it 5-1?
Yeah. He got a hat trick, I think.
He did.
Yeah.
Josh O'Hanlon got a couple of goals as well.
Who?
Yeah. Continue.
Bangor Celtic 0 Cove 2. I actually watched this one then for a while on Saturday evening, I think it was. Because again, I had Cove in the bet and took them a long time to get the breakthrough. Now, this is nothing against Bangor Celtic, by the way. I was watching the game and first thing I spotted was it was been played on an Astro pitch in a cage and there was like blue lines all over the place. It was like one of those American sports fields.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, where there was lines coming out of everywhere, like for different sports or whatever. I was like, how is this? I know it's only the second round of the cup and they've been drawn at home. Surely this isn't.
Yeah.
Surely this shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I see what you mean. Like, but look, if the pitch is okay, like it's like a community pitch or something like that, probably not their own. So, but look. That's what
again,
you get.
This is one of the questions about the third tier. Is that going to be acceptable in the third tier? It may be, but if you get promoted, what happens?
Well, that's it. You just play all your games away from home.
Yeah. We'll have to try. I don't know. Who? Surely got to be some bit of clarity coming out on that soon.
Oh, I think we're many years off.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Fairview 0 Shells 4. As you said, took Shells a while to get going, but eventually did. Castlebar Celtic 3 Longford Town 6 and then St. Pat's 8 UCC 0. They finally found their scoring boots.
Sorry, I didn't catch that last one.
Pat's 8 UCC 0. I was saying they just finally found the scoring boots at last.
Yeah, do you think this will be a step change in for Pat's?
Well, again, it was, you know, it was Europe last season when they came to life under Kenny and that a very easy time of it across the two legs against Helgeman. So, you know, are they starting to warm to the task now again, now that they know they've got a European campaign in front of them?
I'm really not convinced, to be quite honest.
UCC probably would have given Helgeman a game, to be fair.
I think so. and that's a real problem. Like there was that goal by Forrester where he just walks across the box, like, you know, like UCC were just not next or near it, but they probably, as you're right in saying that they wouldn't have given Hagerman a game. They're just, yeah, just not for them really. And I think Pat's like at their ease. Like if you look at some of the goals, you know, they just wouldn't have got 99% of the time that they did get to take those chances. So I'm not sure how much they would have learned, but look, you still have to beat them.
These things could bring you on as a team. Remember last season, Drogheda were kind of down towards the bottom and they beat some non-league team like 9-0 last year in the cup. And they really kicked on after that.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but they were in a different position.
Yeah. Pat's probably needed to feel good about themselves too. I don't know how good you feel bullying a bunch of non-leaguers, like, but... at the same time, you know, it's better to come off the pitch scoring 8 goals than not.
Yeah,
so,
look, that's true. And look,
their next year, we'll be talking to European ties in a while, but they've got what looks, I don't know much about Calju, but Estonian opposition, you have to think that's an.
When is that game?
Thursday.
This Thursday. Oh, two nights from now?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So, got to think this is a chance for them, you know, to pad the stats, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And Conor Carty, you think, got his first goal of the season for them in that game as well. So,
Be interesting to see a bit more of him, maybe.
Yeah, 100%. A player that I was very fond of when he was here last, but hasn't gotten much of a go of it since he came back to Pats.
The third round draw, then, for anyone that's missed it, Cork against Waterford, not again. Derry against Drogheda, a repeat of last year's final, of course. Finn Harps against Bray in an all first division tie. Looks like we'll have a few first division teams in the quarters. Salt Hill against Galway in that very interesting game. Shamrock Rovers against Longford. St. Pat's against Shells is the tie of the round. Bow against Sligo. Kerry against Cove in a Munster Derby. I should have asked you last week, actually, who you think is going to win the cup. And this is hand on heart. I would have said this before any results. I would have been saying Derry, to be honest, just because they're cup pedigree. Obviously, you look at Rovers now and think, right, they're going to be in the quarterfinals. you know, one of Pat's or Shell's is going to go, one of Bowes or Sligo is going to go.
Who did Derry get again?
A home to Drogheda. So it won't be easy at all.
Oh, that won't be easy at all, yeah.
They've beaten them up there comprehensively this season, so...
do you think this is the season that Rovers do a double?
Could be. Could be.
Well, I don't think they'll be able to because it won't beat the town.
And speaking of the town, we're going to bring you that interview now with Dean George. And then after this, we will talk about the league games coming up this weekend. We'll talk about Europe. We have the hotline to come. And yeah, that'll be pretty much it for this week. So let's hear from Dean George. Now, I'm delighted to be joined on the show by Longford Town striker Dean George. You got a couple of goals in the win against Castlebar Celtic on Sunday. Dean, good to chat with you. Do you know how long it was before your previous goal?
I'm not sure. I think there's been a few days being numbers being shouted out there over the last while, but I'm not too sure.
I don't have the exact math in front of me, but I'm told it was over 630 days since your last goal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so talk us through the first of them goals. What was going through your mind, through your body when the ball hit the back of the net?
I think, to be honest, the game itself, it was a bit of a helter-skelter. Like, it was a mad game in the first half. And then the longer it went on as a forward, as a striker, you were kind of itching to get on, to get onto the pitch. And I kind of had it in my head. I had the mindset that, like, if I get on, like, I'm going to make an impact and I'm going to score. And luckily enough, like, Manny done really well with the ball in, and I kind of just about got there before the keeper. And I think that goal, for me personally, was massive, but for the club, for the team as well, that was, it kind of settled everything down. And then after the first one, then I think the game kind of opened up, and we probably could have scored three or four more after the first, when the game went to 4-3. But for me personally, yeah, like, look, I'm buzzing to kind of get the duck off the back and to open up the account with Longford. But more importantly, I think it was just to get over the line, to get into the next round was the most important thing.
Yeah, this is your second year at Longford, but really it's your first proper year, because I think you only played four games last season. You got injured very quickly after you made the move. So it was your first goal for Longford. But again, you've been around the club for a long time, and it just hasn't gone to plan for you, unfortunately, through injury. So again, it must have been a huge moment for you to get that first goal for Longford.
Yeah, I was delighted, like, personally, and it has been. Look, it hasn't been the easiest of journeys for me with Longford. Obviously doing my MCL in the Cork game, I think it was, I can't remember now how it worked out, but I remember the start of the season, we had three or four games were called off, and it was kind of a stop-start season at the very start, which kind of didn't help. And then I actually thought I was doing well in the Cork game, and then I kind of, just these things happened. I think I ran into Greg Bulger or whatever happened, and I knew straight away, my MCL, something was done. Like, even when I was running on it. And then it was just, look, it was a tough period waiting for your specialist meetings, your scans. Then you're getting here and, like, you know, surgery is needed. Then you get all these kind of different negative thoughts. You get, you know, people saying that maybe you won't be able to play again. Maybe it's your ACL. Maybe, like, it's two laps. And it's a real mental battle when you're going through an injury like that, and when you're out for such a long period. Now, look, the club were brilliant with me. The support and everything I needed to get back was there, and I was delighted this season to get a full kind of pre-season under my belt. And I think, like, look, it took me, you know, a good few games, 5 or 10 games, to get that kind of confidence back, get that minutes under your belt. You know, it's hard to get that sharpness back straight away when you're out for so long. And I think, you know, over the last few months, I think I'm slowly starting to get back to my old self. Like, before when I signed originally with Longford, I think I'm starting to build on that confidence and a bit of momentum. And you know, it's working well with us as a team. I think we're starting to get a lot more kind of results and consistently put in performances. And I think my game is getting better as we go, which is obviously brilliant for me. I think at the start of the season, I just kind of set myself a target of staying fit and being available for every game possible. And you know, touch wood, I've been able to do that so far this season.
And were you relaxed about that? You said there, like, the challenges of mentally when you are injured, but when you come back and it's taken a while to get going. Was there ever a doubt within your own mind, maybe the doctors and everyone was right, maybe I'm not going to be the same player? Or could you slowly feel that you were coming back to yourself over the last number of weeks and months?
No, I think it, look, it's a huge doubt. It's a huge mental battle when you come back. And every player is different. So you kind of have to, you know, focus on yourself and just get these little bits of consistency back in the game. Because when you're starting back and you're recovering from a knee surgery, it's all about rehab and it's all about strength and it's all about fitness. And then, you know, when you get to that level where you're back training, it's kind of almost you forget, you know, you have to play the game as well. You have to kind of get your touch back and you have to get your pass back and you have to get your sharpness. So it's kind of like, it did hit me when we were in preseason that I was like, I was fit and I was strong and I was healthy. But I knew even in myself, I wasn't as sharp as what I once was. I wasn't kind of, you know, I was maybe second guessing myself on the ball. You're kind of, you're thinking about what you're doing. And as a player, as an attacker, you know, your best football is when it's instinctive and it comes naturally. And I found myself for the first maybe even 5-10 games, I was kind of thinking about what I was going to do while I was on the ball, not just playing with a bit of freedom and trusting that, you know, your knee is okay and the sharpness will come back. So it does for me anyway, it does take a while. It's not something that just overnight you're back. But then, you know, other players, you see other players come back from similar injuries and sometimes they hit the ground running. So it's kind of, I don't think it's kind of one size fits all or that, you know, everyone's on the same kind of journey back. I think you just have to have a bit of trust and have a bit of faith in what you are and focus on the small things, the little things, you know, back in training, being there consistently, you know, being positive, because it can be a very negative and kind of lonely place when you're out for so long, when you're going to trainings and you're watching trainings and you can't really do anything and you're going to your rehab on your own. It's a long journey. I think, you know, not just myself, there's a lot of players, unfortunately, just the way it's worked out with Longford over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of lads that have been going through the same thing. So that was kind of almost a positive in a way, because you were talking and you had a group of lads that were kind of going through the same thing. So you could talk to them about kind of what you're going through and they're kind of going through a similar thing. So there was a good kind of support network around me personally the first year. And, you know, thankfully this year I am kind of feeling like a lot healthier, a lot better, a lot more confident in myself, which is good. And then obviously getting a couple of goals helps. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you need a little bit of luck and a little bit of kind of, it only takes kind of maybe one or two chances. And when you put one away, then you kind of, you're playing again with that extra bit of freedom. You know that, you know, you've got that one and now you can kind of push on hopefully and get a few more anyway.
You strike me as a positive person anyway, because even when you were out injured, whenever I seen you on the ground, smiling, laughing, talking to supporters. But how big of a struggle was it mentally? Did you find it hard when you were out all that length of time?
Yeah, no, look, it's not easy. It's probably the worst thing in football that can happen with you when you're looking down a serious long term injury, and you're worried not only about how the surgery's going to go, how you're going to go, how your body's going to react, how your knee's going to react. You're also then in the back of your head, you're like, you know, you have to try and get back into a team. You have to try and get back training. You have to, you know, you're worried that maybe being that long out, you might get a chance to show what you can do, because, you know, football is a rootless game and players come and go, and, you know, football moves on. It doesn't kind of wait for anyone. So there's a lot of worry. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of fear that comes with it. But once you get back playing, once you get your first training session, you know, it all just comes kind of rushing back and it's all worthwhile then when you're back in teams and you're back in squads. I remember even going for my first warm-ups, and you know, when you're playing regularly, like, you know, warm-ups are nothing, then you're not thinking about walking out and doing a warm-up. You're probably like, you probably hate warm-ups. But then when you're coming back after a long spell, you're looking forward to the warm-up and you're like, I can't wait to just get a jersey and be in a match day squad and getting on a bus and traveling and all these little things that you take for granted when you're playing that, you know, come back to you and you're kind of like, Jesus, I can't wait to get my first training session in. I can't wait to go to my first squad. But it is tough. It's a real mental battle, and you know, thankfully, you know, I've come out the end of it. But it's not easy. It's a struggle for anyone at any level, no matter what level you're playing at. Like those kind of injuries, these things that come, you know, part and parcel with football. They're not the easiest to come back from, and you do have to stay positive. You need a kind of a positive mindset, and you know, sometimes I'm probably, in the position I'm in, I'm kind of blessed with having your career maybe outside football and having things that you do outside football that you're not, you know, you're not zoned in, like solely focused on football and constant like recovery and rehab programs. You kind of, you know, when you're in working and when I'm in teaching and that really helped me during that period, because if it was just kind of full-time in that full-time environment, you kind of nearly feel like you've got nothing else, you know, there's nothing else to focus on. You're just constantly thinking about the injury and thinking about how you're going to come back and what's going to happen. So, you know, having that little bit of kind of, I suppose, that other kind of layer in your lifestyle, that you have something else to lean on when maybe the football isn't going well, or maybe you're out for a long period of time, I think was a big help for me anyway, personally.
And you said the club have been very supportive and were very supportive through the injury, but again, there's limited resources, I suppose, in the League of Ireland. You know, you have your physio, maybe a club doctor, and a lot of the care you might get maybe is external at times. I'm just wondering, from that psychological point of view, is there much support out there for players that are going through injuries or going through any kind of mental anguish? How do you find that side of the things in the League of Ireland?
Yeah, there is to an extent. I think over the last number of years, I think it's gotten a lot better. I think every club, like certainly over the last 2 years, every club has like a, I don't know how to put it now, but it's kind of like a, if you want to call it a counsellor, or there's a person that comes in there as a support network for every club now in the league. So if you are going through kind of tough times, whether it's injury or not playing or, you know, whatever's going on in your life outside of football, there's a person there that isn't management, that is outside of the club, that you can go to, whether it's a coffee or a chat over the phone, or there is that kind of, I think the league are doing well to put that emphasis on, you know, the life outside of football and the person, not just the player. So I think it is getting better. And then look, you know, Longford itself, it's, you know, going up, travelling to the games when you're injured, there's always people there to chat to, you know what I mean? There's always, you have the volunteers there, which are brilliant. And then you have all the staff and the physios and the coaches and the players. So there's enough there if you're willing to kind of look for it and chat to these people around you, which is brilliant. So we're probably blessed in that shape of the way that you have so much people there and access to so much if you need it, which is always good.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. So that's really good to hear, really encouraging as well. Final point on this, because I think this is an interesting interview actually, in terms of, like, obviously we talk about players a lot on the pod, you know, everyone's dream is to go to England or go to a foreign league and play, but times there's players in the first division and they just can't get that run of luck, and you know, it's tough going, and you've kind of gone through that over the last number of years. You were on the rise, you scored goals for Treaty season after season, you get your move to Longford and maybe you're hoping to push for promotion and, you know, really make a name for yourself in the division, and then you just have a difficult couple of seasons and you're mixing it with work as well. It's not the most glamorous of things. I'm sure at times, did it ever cross your mind, do I need this? I could do without this.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not going to lie, it's not easy. It's you know, it's been difficult, like my journey and I'm sure several other players' journeys, it's never easy. Like I made the commitment years ago to sign for Treaty when, you know, whatever happened at loan at the time, and they kind of got a few loan players in, and I was kind of told, I think a day or 2 days before the window, that, you know, all of a sudden there's no money there, or you're not going to play. And I was told the day before the window that, you know, my chances in me, it looked like I'd never be able to play in the league again. And that's when kind of Treaty came in and Tommy came in, and I had to make the decision whether to travel 3 hours, 2.5 hours down to Limerick to train twice a week and travel up everywhere across the league, matches, away matches, because I'm based in Dublin, or, you know, just play locally and maybe enjoy your football locally, which is obviously, there's a lot to be said for that. But I've always wanted to push myself. There's never a doubt, kind of for me anyway, in my mind, in what I wanted to do as a player. I've always wanted to play at the highest level that I possibly can and test myself at the highest level. And when I got the chance to stay in the league, you know, I took it with both hands. And thankfully, you know, obviously the years of Treaty worked out well for me. There was a couple of injuries, but I enjoyed my football, and it was probably my best football in the league was with Treaty. And that's where I really kind of grew and you know, played consistently and scored goals, etc. So for me, it's always like, and that will never change. I'm always going to try and stay in the league and push up and try and make a name for myself and play at the highest level possible until I can't, until that's taken away. But until then, I think I'm always going to strive to be and play at the best level that I possibly can.
And it has been a difficult couple of seasons for Longford, I suppose. Longford are used to competing in the playoffs and trying to get promoted, and have had a couple of promotions in the last couple of years. They've been scrapping around the bottom, but as you said at the top of the interview, there's been more positive signs over the last number of months. It's one defeat now in their last six or seven games. I think it's actually the best run Longford have had under Wayne. So do you feel like the confidence is growing around the camp?
Yeah, definitely. Like definitely we've seen, especially this season, but even over the last 2 years, like momentum is everything. And if you can go on a run, in whether it's the Premier or the First Division, if you can go on a run of games where you're not losing and you're winning and, you know, two or three on the bounce, then you jump positions like overnight. Do you know what I mean? It's really like everyone can kind of take points off everyone is what we've seen so far in this league. And I think, look, it was a new group this year. I think we lost a lot of senior lads in the dressing room. You know, we it was a huge kind of turnover of players, and maybe it kind of took the group a little bit to settle into the new team, and it took maybe us to kind of come together to gel over the last season. But I think we're really kind of reaping the rewards of just working hard, and I think we found a kind of a style of football now in the last kind of maybe 6, 7, 8 games that seems to have worked for us. And it's just about sticking to that. I think in the league, in any league in general, but in the First Division especially, I think if you work hard and you run and you're honest and you take your chances that you can, you get a lot from it. Do you know what I mean? If you're solid defensively and you work hard, you reap your rewards. And I think, you know, only off the back of my head, the Kerry game was you know, is an example of that. You know what I mean? We from the first whistle, we were running, we were working hard, and we capitalised on the chances that we took. And that's kind of, that's everything, because you need to be taking the chances that you get, but you also need to be, you know, trying to pick up points against the teams around you. And I think maybe last season and the season before, I think we kind of struggled to pick up a bit of consistency and win those games that were tight. But, you know, at the minute we've done that since the break, especially after the break, we've built a lot of momentum and confidence in what we're doing. And look, there's a lot of competition in places, there's change, and there's movement within the dressing room. Like, you know, players are getting chances, players are in 1 week and out the next week. And I think that helps when you've got real competition for places and people know that, you know, if you're not on it, you know, there's chances that the next person is going to come in to replace you. So I think that's been big for us in the last kind of 7 or 8 games. And, you know, hopefully we can continue kind of the run that we're on.
You mentioned earlier you played for Athlone at one stage in your career. What year was that cup run you went on when you got to the semis and played Dundalk?
Oh, I think that was, maybe four or five years ago. I think that was 2020 or 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
When we got lucky in a sense. I think we played Wexford, I think, in one of the earlier rounds, and then we got a bye. So I think we only played like one game, and then we got Shells in the quarterfinal. And then obviously we managed to get past that at the time, which is huge because they were in the Premier. And then we got Dundalk dead in the semis, and that was a rude awakening. Then that game, but you know, these things happen. It's you know, the cup run, and you know, you never know what can happen. But yeah, that was probably,
yeah, I think that was 2020.
Tough result.
I think that was 2020. No, the reason I ask is we had you on that time before the semi final against Dundalk when you were at Athlone, and now you're back on. I think this is the longest ever between someone's first appearance on the pod and their second.
Yeah,
so
very good.
But yeah, so you've had an interesting kind of history with the cup. Longford got drawn against Shamrock Rovers today. I'm sure you're hoping it won't be a similar scoreline, but how did you feel when Longford's name came out against Rovers today?
I was actually with Jamie Egan. We were getting a coffee at the time, and we were looking at the draw. And obviously then we seen Rovers got pulled out, and then we got pulled out beside them. But, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, anticipation, and then you're kind of waiting, and then you know, the level of opposition that you're playing. Look, we're going to be playing the best in the country. Do you know what I mean? There's no doubt about that. They're the best team in the country. They have probably the strongest squad that anyone has. But it's exciting. It's exciting. That's why you're in football. That's why you play football. You know, these are the types of draws in the FAI Cup that you want to get. You know, you want to get these big teams, and you want to get them away. You want to test yourself against the best in the country and see where you're at. So look, there was a bit of like, oh, we got Rovers, but then you're kind of like, you know, it's a challenge that you're excited for, that you're looking forward to, and you're eager to see, you know, what you can do against them. Like, it's not going to be easy, obviously, and you know, if you know how good they can be on any given day. But it's an exciting challenge, and it's something that, you know, all the players will be raring to go, because, you know, there's no better team to face that will show, you know, what level you're at and where you want to get to than playing the best in the country.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm glad the goals came at the weekend. I'm sure there'll be like buses now, and you'll get lots of them over the next few weeks. So very best luck for the rest of the season, Dean, and thanks for chatting to us.
Yeah, I hope so. Please, God. Thanks, everybody, and thanks for having me on.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Right, attention returns to league matters now, and we'll start with the Premier Division games. Time for the BTS Predictions League. Better bring up this little bit of an admin issue from last week, Gary. So, the Kerry Athlone game, you went for a 1-1 draw over the 90, which happened.
Right.
And then you went for Kerry on pens.
Oh.
So I've given you the 3 points for the 90 minutes.
Okay.
And then I have given you the point for getting the right team to progress. I don't know, should I have? Because you went pens, but at the end of the day, they did progress. Had it been...
Did I say to progress? Did I say on pens?
I think you said pens. I have pens wrote down here. I'm going to give you the 4 points anyway.
Okay.
If it had been pens, I would have given you 5 points.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not robbing you. I've definitely been kind here.
But,
worked out well for you anyway. You got 9 points. Top player again. David, who played last week, he got 6 points. Very funny, actually. I know you're not much of a man for the TikTok, but I was in the Lilywhite Lounge before the game on Friday in Oriel, and David was in there with a mate of his having a pint. So I said, I'll go up and stick a camera in his face now and ask him for a prediction. He obviously had already gone 2-0 to Sligo on this very podcast, but he said, now that I'm on camera, I can't go against Dundalk. So he went 2-1, but we're still giving him the 3 points because he did say 2-0 on the podcast. The
predictions,
But he got 6 points and I got 7 points. So you were the top player again. You're really getting close now. Proper title race unfolding. listeners, top on 135. You're second on 129.
Oh, reeling them in.
I am bottom on 112, I think it is. No, 119. So, work to do for me. But yeah, you're reeling them in. Right, Shane Bell plays this week, Finn Harps fan. But we're going to start with the Premier Division games, as I said. We'll start with the big relegation game. This is the one that's live on the telly as well. Cork City against Sligo Rovers. Do or die for Cork City here.
Yeah, game. Definitely the most important game going on Friday night anyway. I can't see past Sligo.
Nope, cannot either.
Despite
the fact they weren't that impressive in Oriel, but I think they went up there with a bit of a game plan maybe to contain. They probably knew, look, Dundalk, big night for them, Premier Division team coming down. There was a big crowd. It was a good atmosphere. It felt like a Premier Division game. It wasn't as flat as maybe some of the First Division games have been. So they probably knew they were going to come under an early barrage a little bit and sat in and looked that bit of Premier Division quality showed. Wouldn't be surprised if they do something similar here. Cork, the void of confidence. Sligo getting more confident within themselves. I'm going to go 2-0 to Sligo.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Sligo. But I think it's going to be a bad night in Turner's Cross for Cork.
Jeez, what will the fan reaction be like there if that happens? Shane goes 1-1. Even that would be a good result for Sligo, I think. But really, go down there, win it, kill them off. It should be the mentality they have.
Yeah, I think final nail and coffin job.
Yeah.
Doesn't
matter what they do in transfer windows or anything like that. They're out of it.
They'll be 11 points behind with
game over. Yeah.
11 games left.
Derry City against Bohemians. Third against second. Only a point between them. Shamrock Rovers will be watching this hoping it's a draw. And I could actually see that happening. I could see this being a high scoring draw. Both teams had big cushy wins in the cup. They're both generally in good league form. I know Derry had that poor result against Sligo before the cup game, but they're at home here where they've been doing well this season. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
I can certainly see something like that happening, but I'm just motioning towards Derry at the moment for this one. I think it'll be a very tight game. I think it'll be...
Nearly always is between these two.
Yeah. Derry had, up to last season, did a really good record, I think, against Bowes.
Under Higgins. Haven't won up there in a while. Haven't won up in Derry for a while. 2023, I think.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Derry.
Okay. And Shane going 2-0 to Derry. And as a Hearts fan, that must take a lot. Galway against Waterford, the second season syndrome derby, I think we'll call this one.
Absolutely.
Shane going 2-1 Waterford. You could probably see something like that, could you?
I think that'll be very hard achieved in MDC Park. I think though that you have two. Well, obviously you have Park and Mond for Galway, or sorry, for Waterford, but they also made permanent the deal with Tommy Lonergan.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got that over the line, considering he was coming from Fleetwood. I'm gonna play it safe 1-1.
Going the same, yeah. Waterford, I wasn't that impressed, as I said on last week's show, with them against Cork. I think any of the teams higher up the table would have probably beaten Waterford, but yeah. Galway are not in great form. They've become a bit soft defensively as well. So I think this could be a poor old game. I'm going to go 1-1. Shane going 2-1 to Waterford, as I said. Right, into the first division. Athlone against Treaty. Are we finally going to get Ian Ryan lift off with Athlone?
No. Not against Treaty, I don't believe. Even with the game in Lizzie Wullen.
Imagine that drive back from Kerry the other night. Like,
oh God, yeah, and then having to play out, you know, an extra 30 minutes.
Oh Jesus! Aye, and then play a Leinster senior game and lose that as well.
Yeah, it's just real bad. Yeah, that's really grim. I'm gonna go for, I think Treaty will shade it here. I'm gonna go 1-0 to Treaty.
I'm gonna go 2-1 to Treaty. Shane going 1-1. Dundalk against Wexford. A bit of news this evening. It looks like Sean Kyo, a player that I've been highlighting a lot on the pod in the last probably year or so, looks like he could be on his way to Brighton. I think Dundalk have got a nice fee for him as well, which is good to hear. They need all of it. I spoke to him earlier in the season. I reshared that on our Twitter earlier. Spoke to him early in the season. I think it might have actually been after the game they played Wexford where he scored. And he said he wanted to be the best left back, not just in the first division, but in the country. Doesn't look like he'll get a chance to go into the Premier Division because it looks like he's going to Brighton. But that's a great move for the young lad. But you'd have to fancy Dundalk, even with their trouble in front of goal. Wexford have had a very poor season so far.
Yeah, they have. They haven't been that prolific in front of goal either. But I think some of their defending has been just absolutely cat. I'm going to say 2-0 to Dundalk.
Going to follow you on that. And so is Shane as well. Finn Harps against Cove. Top of the table, or top of the country, bottom of the country, Derby.
Tough one here. Harps had obviously a poor result against UCD, then followed that up with a good result against UCD.
Cove missed the chance to close the gap on Dundalk before the cup matches.
Yeah. I'm gonna go for a 1-1 draw here. I think it'll be another poor night at the office for Cove.
There's something about Cove I just can't put warm my faith in them here. Gonna follow you on that one and go. I might even, just to be different, I might even go 0-0.
I think you know, Harps will be excited. Like they are scoring.
I'm gonna go 0-0.
Okay.
Kerry UCD.
We saw what happened with Harps there. I'm not gonna put that all down to Sean Brennan, but like he was a key player for UCD, there's no doubt about it. We're gonna have to look at him again on Saturday.
I know. Well, don't forget, a bit closer to him than they did the last day.
Yeah.
Kerry, will that result against that loan be a turning point in their season, or did they simply pull it out of the fire against the worst team in the league?
I think they pulled it out of the fire against the worst team in the league. Like, it was a free kick that undone it. Like, it wasn't, you know, tiki-taka, eight players involved.
UCD, though, we spoke about them being limited enough in attack. I hate using that word all the time, but they're even more limited now without Sean Brennan.
Yeah, those like key little passes in around the box. Those little,
even just holding on to the ball when you're ahead, you or it. Under pressure. Yeah. Kerry will probably still find some way to concede here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for a 1-1 draw.
Gonna go the same.
Yeah.
2-0 to UCD.
I just think, as you said, like Kerry will do well and then blow their leg off. Do something stupid.
And then it's Longford Town against Bray.
Yeah.
Seems a long time ago. This was the first game of the season for Longford, and it was an even enough game. Longford probably should have got something out of it. Bray limped out of town with a 1-0 win. you would have never thought that night Bray would go on to be the team that they have been this season.
Yeah.
And now they've got Sean Brennan as well. So look, Bray will start this as favourites. Longford, you'd like to hope, or maybe a different team than they were then. As I said to Dean earlier, they're on their best run of form ever, I think, under Wayne Grove since he took over, 1-7. So they'll be looking to put it up to Bray here. They did take a right pacing off them in the Carlisle area in the season. But that was a game where Longford were well in it in the first half and didn't take chances. So
yeah, I remember I couldn't travel to that game, and you were, yeah, I remember that going, you, yeah, you telling me that it was.
Look, I'd still make Bray favourites here. I suppose the fact that Longford conceded 3 against Castlebar wasn't great. I'm going to go 2-1 to Bray, just because I think there's still a few things that need to be ironed out in that Longford Town defence. But I'd be hoping Longford can give them a right good fight here.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 to the Town.
Okay, and Shane's following me with 2-1 to Bray Wanderers. Right, that's the predictions league. We'll talk about Europe before we go. Starting with the Champions League tomorrow night, Shells against Carabag. They'd really need to be making hay at home here. It's difficult to see Shells getting through this.
Yeah, no, I think the pedigree.
We should probably recap on the Linfield game a little bit. I mean, they give Linfield 2 open goals and they missed the first one. I mean, when Conor Kearns, I know he was maybe carrying knock kicks it to whoever it was for Linfield. Yeah. He put it 20 foot wide at the goal. And then the second one, when the subkeeper Healy comes on, he did recover it well, I suppose, saving with his legs, but he should have never been given a chance. I mean, if they went in, it could have been a very, very different story for Shelburne against a very, very poor infield side. So they're going to have to play levels beyond that if they're to get anything out of this game, just to stay competitive in the game even.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, well, not nailed on, but like I think there's going to be an element of a 0-0 result in Talca Park would be, the game's in Talca tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will be, that'll be a huge result. Like these boys, not that I know anything about them, I just know that they're always in, or nearly always in group stage competition, or have been in the last few years. I think it's going to be a real difficult tie for them.
We're not including these in the predictions, Lee, but if you were giving me a prediction here, what would it be for the first leg?
A very, very hopeful nil-all draw. That'd be a huge result.
Yeah. Look, again, I suppose the last time I seen Carabags when they played Dundalk and Oriel in 2019 or whatever it was, I think Dundalk got a draw in the home leg, but were beaten away. So
yeah, and that's what I think is going to happen. It's an awful trip. It's one of the furthest trips I think you can do.
Probably, yeah. I couldn't see Shells getting anything out of this. I'd be going 2-0 tomorrow night to Carabag. Hopefully I'm wrong. Yeah. Hopefully I'm wrong. St. Pat's against Caldew again. I know absolutely nothing about these. Yeah. Just to mention, John Breyer will be back. He's away in the UK visiting family this week, so he's not able to do his little European piece. But hopefully we'll look, all these teams, well, hopefully they'll all still be, even if Shells lose, they drop into the Europa. We'll be hoping the Pats and Rovers will still be alive in a couple of weeks' time. So John will be back with us. But yeah, we haven't done much homework on these. Caldew, I'd know nothing about. But again, Estonian opposition, be hoping Pats here can get through this.
Yeah. I just have to hope with Pats. Like, I think they're fairly unreliable, I think, at the moment. You don't really know what you're going to get with them. But I think they have to be putting these to the side. And I'll admit the exact same. I know absolutely nothing about them. So I'm really putting pressure on Pats here to beat a team I know nothing about. But yeah, it just needs to happen. It needs to be done. And then see where you end up after that. It would definitely put a shine on their season so far, getting through this tie. But
And then Thursday we've got, go on, give us a prediction there, even though we know nothing about this team.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Pats again.
Yeah, I'd probably be saying the same as well. And then we've got a team we do know a little bit about, to be fair, St. Joseph's against Rovers, Shamrock Rovers, on Thursday night. Joseph's made it difficult for Shelburne last season, but home and away, it wasn't far from a cakewalk getting through. We know the pitch over there is awful. I haven't looked at the weather, but I know when Dundalk were over there a couple of years ago playing Bruno's, and I know when Shells were out there last year, the heat was intense. So hopefully it's not just as hot this time around. I haven't checked, but it can be a sticky away tie this. So as I always say, look, the thing about these ties is just getting through. Rovers don't have to go out there and win. You know, if you're speaking to a neutral here and said, oh, Rovers are playing a team from Gibraltar tonight, thinking, oh, should we win that 4 or 5? If they go out there and draw 1-1, 0-0, it's not the end of the world. Once they put them to bed at the home leg, that's what I'd still fancy Rovers to win the two legs, because I think Rovers are a step above everyone at the moment in the league. I think they'll have far too much for this team home and away. But if it doesn't go to plan in the first leg, I wouldn't be panicking just yet.
No, not at all. But I still would expect them to put them to the side in the first leg. I think I'm looking at it here. I think the game's on at 5 o'clock.
They like playing the early. They did that with Shells and Dundalk in recent years. Yeah, it looks hot enough over there, all right.
That's right. Yeah. I'd say we'd expect Shamrock Rovers to get the job done. They need to concentrate. Not leave any.
This could be a fiery enough old occasion too. Aside from the weather, the home leg in Gibraltar last year against Shells, there was a player sent off on each team, and obviously then there was the whole thing about the Shelburne fans chants and everything. And St. Joseph's made a complaint to UEFA, so there could be a bit of political tension in the air for this one. I'd say the Rovers fans might have picked up a few things out of the old playbook from Shell, so this could be a fiery occasion over there. So again,
I don't know about that. Like old St. Joseph's Twitter was writing love letters to Shamrock Rovers since the draw was made.
Did you look at any of the replies?
No, I didn't know. Why? Yeah.
Rovers fans were writing the opposite of love letters back.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, so, well, that's good. Look, I would expect Shamrock Rovers to put these boys to the side, as I said. Need to get focused, get it done.
Yeah, I'd say 2-0 tomorrow and maybe 3 or 4 at home.
Yeah, 5, 6 or 7 over the two legs.
Yeah, there you go. Right, BTS hotline time before we go. Let's take a look.
Let's take a look.
BTS hotline. Sorry, it's a bit down the page. Here we go. It's a small hotline this week anyway. Who is your favourites to win the cup, given there's a Europa League spot up for it? Of course, they're describing it as the most lucrative FAI Cup ever this season. So I've said Derry. Who do you think Rovers for the double?
Well, they can't do it because they lose against Longford Town. I don't... Maybe Derry? Not really sure.
Mm.
Do you know what? I said draw it again.
Christy, need to have a rethink on when the second round of the cup is played to help the non-league sides. Maybe first two rounds in April, May quarter final, September semi-final, October final. Again, is that just a band-aid situation there? Like,
get to the summer league, boys, and you won't have that problem.
I would agree. And Daniel, great draw for Rovers, tough draw for Shells. Pat's been nice knowing you. I think he's talking that was from Yeses. So that's obviously European draw related.
Oh, Pat's nice knowing you.
Yeah, they're playing Estonian team, right?
Yeah, but the lad that's like been providing all these Estonian internationals to the League of Ireland the last few years?
If they win against Calju, they're playing either Dynamo Kyiv or they have a big one lying in wait, don't they?
I can't actually remember. I didn't know that, to be quite honest. I know I thought I saw Shells. Who will they get if they get through this?
Very organized podcast.
Yeah.
We have it here now. St. Pat's have been handed. They will face either Besiktas or Shakhtar Donetsk.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine getting Besiktas. That'd be great crack heading over there. But yeah, that'd be not ideal.
Shamrock Rovers will play either Balkany of Kosovo or Malta's Floriana in the third round.
Well, that'd be a tough one, wouldn't it? Kind of. That'd be a banana skin in Floriana if they get through.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I thought I'd expect them to come through there.
Oh, okay. And who could Shells get if they manage to do it with?
Well, I think we know who they're playing if they lose, and even that's tough. So, yeah.
They could be down into the conference very quick, is what you're
saying. Yeah, and you're hoping then they get a soft draw in the conference. So,
but that'd be a playoff if they get into a group.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. Hopefully so. Like, yeah, it would be some job. Like, I know there was lots of talk there about, like, oh, you get a mortgage for a house.
Hmm.
Or not need a mortgage for a house, or a deposit for a mortgage, or whatever the talk was very quickly. So it would be great to see another Irish team in the European competition outside, you know, after the league ends. hopefully they'll do it. Give us some interest in the in these European competitions. I was going to say they're boring, but I didn't actually mind the group stage thing last year. I know you liked it.
No, well, I hated it for the Champions League and the Europa League, but it was obviously hugely beneficial for Rovers in the conference.
Yeah, well, to be fair, they did have some good results early on, so that obviously helped them there. But also they got Laren, which helped too.
And TNS.
Yeah.
Mm. Totally. If Shelburne progress past Qarabag, they'll face the winners of Steaua Bucharest or a North Macedonian team.
Oh, that's the FCS.
Yeah, FCSB, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the Phoenix clubs or whatever it is.
The Romanian Cork City.
Yeah. Is that the one that Christian Magerson went to? I think it is.
I think it was up there, second team. This isn't the same crowd.
But the other team that's in there.
Second team.
And I thought it was FSA, CSP or whatever it was. I don't know. Oh, okay.
And if Shells are beaten, they play the losers of Rekia from Croatia or Ludogorets from Bulgaria. So most likely Ludogorets. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Some tough draws there.
Tough draws there, some nice big teams. Yeah, well, a lot of it. But yeah, look, conference is where we're aiming for at this point. So,
you're watching. Have you been watching much of the women's Euros?
No, not a second.
Just seen England there in the final.
All right, okay. Congratulations, England. I did see some of the penalties. yeah, that was social media that brought that to my eyeballs.
To be fair, I like watching Spain.
Are they good?
Yeah, they're really good. Okay. Tiki Taka.
Oh. Are they still in it?
Yeah, they're the favourites.
Okay. So they could do a job in England first?
They'll do a job in England, yeah.
All right, okay.
Well, vamos.
Vamos.
Yeah, look, that was this week's podcast. FAI Cup review, league previews, Europa Conference League previews, a bit of everything for you there. Thanks to Dean George for joining us. As ever, we are brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. If you haven't already done so, check out our members club. All of our exclusive content is there. buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI/membership. Or if you want to make a one-off little contribution to the podcast, you can do so on our Buy Me a Coffee page as well, if you're a fan of the pod and like what we do. But for this week, from Kieran Burr, from Gary Riley, from our sponsor, Quinn AV, we will see you again soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.